got a couple of minutes before we go on the radio. We did want you to know Brenda McManus, who does the video back there with the wide-angle lens. Does a prison ministry and goes and sees the prisoners, especially those on death row. And it's funny, she just left this little place, went to another little place, didn't ask anybody for any recognition or honor. And this was sent to her. It said, in recognition of outstanding service to prison fellowship, Brenda McManus hereby awarded this certificate of appreciation, 7th day of May. Thanks for all the love and support you give the inmates. Hebrews 13:3 says, don't forget about those in prison. Suffer with them as though you were there yourself. Share the sorrow of those being mistreated, as though you feel their pain in your own bodies. And that comes from Chuck Colson. Sit it over there, Jerry. We thank all of you who listen by way of radio and on the World Wide Web. There's no excuse for you now. And we're glad that you tuned in. If you're a visitor in town and want to come and visit with us, we're at the end of Main Street, Ocean Drive section of North Myrtle Beach, right before you get into the ocean. Take a right, and that's us. You're welcome. Our meetings really start at 9:30, and we start preaching on the radio at 10. So feel free to come, tell your people to listen in on the radio, wherever they may be, and we count you as part of us. So this morning we'll pray and then we will expound the scriptures. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us by the sea. We thank you that you put us in this place for a mission to do thy will. Please make sure that we do it. Lead and guide me in everything I do and say, and remove me from this place that you be heard. That anything I say that should be forgotten, please make it be. All that should be remembered, please have it be. That the church be edified, that you be glorified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Having a lot of problems with the alphabet people. We won't call their name. We're on the radio now, AC, whatever's. And I saw somebody sent this. My brother-in-law sent this to Ann. I'll read it to you and get your copies of it if you want it. She'll tell you where to get them. They're trying to kick. They already asked God to leave the schools. Then they wonder why people die there now. And they kicked the Bible out a long time ago. Now they're trying to get him out. 10 commandments they don't want anywhere. And this is interesting. It says, did you know as you walk up the steps of the building which houses the U.S. Supreme Court, you can see near the top of the building a row of the world's lawgivers, and each one is facing one in the middle who is facing forward with a full frontal view. It's Moses. He's holding the 10 commandments. Did you know as you enter the Supreme Court courtroom, the two huge oak doors have the 10 commandments engraved on each lower portion of the door? Did you know as you sit inside the courtroom, you can see the wall right above where the Supreme Court judges sit, a display of the 10 commandments with Moses holding them? Did you know there are Bible verses etched in stone all over the federal buildings and monuments in Washington, D.C.? Did you know James Madison, the 4th president, known as the father of our Constitution, made the following statement? We have staked the whole of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the 10 commandments of God. Did you know Patrick Henry, that patriot and founding father of our country, said it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know every session of Congress begins with a prayer by a paid preacher whose salary has been paid by the taxpayers since 1777? Did you know 52 of the 55 founders of the Constitution were members of the established Orthodox churches in the colonies? Did you know Thomas Jefferson worried that the courts would overstep their authority and instead of interpreting the law, would begin making the law, the rule of a few over many? Did you know the very first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay, said Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers? How then have we gotten to the point that everything we've done for 220 years in this country is now suddenly wrong and unconstitutional? It's said that 86% of the Americans believe in God. Therefore, it's very hard to understand why there's such a mess about having the Ten Commandments on display, or In God We Trust on our money, and having God in the Pledge of Allegiance. Why don't we just tell the other 14% to sit down and shut up? Now, if this is your first time here or the first time listening by radio, we don't get politically correct, and I don't care. Know those two things. You have an announcement about H. Lee's daddy. He went to, you want me to do this, H? You want to do it? Okay. H. Lee called me. I've been trying to get up with him, and God said, how's your dad? And a couple of weeks ago, he had gone, and they found cancer in his lung, and H. Lee didn't want to tell him that. He's 85. And he said, well, just, you know, he's lived a good life, 85 years old. Don't even tell him he's got it. Just let it go. And that was the decision. So I'd been praying about that. You know, the Lord's will be done, all that we do. And calling H. Lee every other day, I asked how his daddy's doing. And he said, got some good news. What is it? He said, I took Dad to another doctor, cancer specialist. He said, we've been told he has cancer. Please don't tell him. Just let me know what's going on. And he looked, and there was mucus in the lung. And they withdrew it to see if there were any cancer cells, tested them, and the doctor came back and said, somebody's giving you bad information. This man has no cancer. I'm telling you, and the doctor's trying to think the other one made a mistake, you know, and tells H. Lee, well, he must have made a bad diagnosis. H. Lee said, no, he was perfectly correct. He had cancer. He doesn't now. That's the difference, see. And boy, we're proud of that. Larry and Shirley will renew their vows after church right here. And they all dressed up today. One of them looks considerably better than the other. but they're both pretty. See? So we'll do that. Little Frankie, the other day, Frankie and Bradley and Frank playing in the yard, and Sylvia looked out to see what's going on. And Frankie's sitting in the dirt, leaning over, kissing the tag on the van. And she went out there and said, honey, what are you doing, kissing the tag on the van? He said, thanking Jesus for my new van. I said, look at you. Oh, baby. Oh, them kids will get you. Ann's friend needs a good mechanic if you know someone who needs a job. If there's a car mechanic, you do that kind of work, and you don't have to be, if you need a job, we'll put you in touch. This guy's a good mechanic, and he'll put you under his training. He's been at 25, 30 years and can fix most anything. So get with Ann if you need that, or if you have a friend who's a mechanic who needs work. So, or if you listen on the radio, call. We don't care. We just get somebody. In the scriptures, we find in the book of Revelation that a very difficult time is coming upon the earth. I preach on this every now and then. Bobby McGinnis tells me to preach on it more often. So I will. We've been friends for 100 years. And people need to know. There's a time coming on earth called a tribulation period. It's a time of bad news on the earth. You don't hear much preaching about this anymore because there's a movement about for people to think things are going to get better and better. And everybody's going to get saved, and then Jesus is going to come and rule over everything. Evidently, they haven't been to Bike Week. And they can't read well. Mm-hmm. The period of time that we're talking about is the tribulation period, it's called. We refer to it as that. There's many other names for it. It's a seven-year period that will come upon the earth after the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is when the Lord Jesus calls the saved, all the saved. Dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive will be caught up to meet him in the air, 1 Thessalonians says. And at that time, we're gone, so we don't have to worry about all this that I'm going to tell you this morning, and it may go into next week and the week after, because we're going to go through it slow, good, and even. It's not to put you in fear. If you're a Christian, you have nothing to fear. You won't be here. If you aren't a Christian, it's a dire warning to you. You better get something done. If you have friends, relatives, loved ones, please understand how late the hour is. The news media is not going to tell you the real story. Everything's not at peace in the world. We're at verge of a third world war that can strike at any time. That's why most of your congressmen, senators, and presidents have white hair and very wrinkled faces. They know things they can't even tell us. We get to know some because we knew them before they did. They were in the scripture. They just don't believe it. The time of those 7 years has a label called the tribulation period. It's called other things. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is the Jew. During that period of time, God's going to give the Jew one more time to come to the Savior. One more time to recognize their Savior. It's not a time of meanness and hatefulness and God trying to get even with everybody. It's he said, look, you didn't listen when I talked to you. You didn't listen when I tapped you on the shoulder. You didn't listen when I hit you with a 2x4. Maybe now you'll listen. It's just like when you're a little child and a beautiful little girl here, she starts running into the street with the traffic. Her daddy isn't going to say, gee, I wish you wouldn't do that. He's going to jerk her up, not meanful. He's going to give her a little warning. Not because he intends to hurt her, but to prevent her from the real pain that could come if she doesn't quit that. And that's what the Lord Jesus does here. It's not to say I'm going to get even with anybody. He's saying I'm going to warn you and give you one more opportunity to do what I ask you to do because what's coming on this earth, you don't want to be part of. It's called the day of Israel's calamity, not the church. It's called the indignation. It's called the day of vengeance. It's called the day of wrath, the day of desolation, the day of darkness, and the day of the wrath of God. You would assume just by naming what was coming, that would be warning enough for anybody in their right mind to find out what was coming and to try to avoid it. Of all the warnings, and this are just a few of them that are given the names of this period of time, God in his goodness kept saying, I'm trying to tell you, look at the warning sign and see what it says. You don't have to read crocodiles in this area not to swim there. I wouldn't assume you would have to have crocodiles, a large reptilian. Able to eat a water buffalo. They live in this area. Please don't go in the pool. They will eat you. They like to eat you. They are food gatherers. It's all they do is eat. That's why they're here, is to eat. And if you go in this water, they will eat you. You don't need all that. All you need is crocodiles. No swimming. You would think. And I'm sitting watching one of those Earthlink programs or whatever they are, and I appreciate them, the nature programs, and they're showing Australia. We have alligators 7-8 feet out here in the swamp, and they'll run from you, not at you. Crocodile be a different creature. He's hoping you'll come. He's waiting on you. And they've got signs up, crocodiles in this area, no swimming. And they got a man and a woman about 25 years old going to do it their way, and they're swimming right in the middle of that river. And the guy's, you know, obviously videoing it, and he said they are just a matter of time before their lunch for somebody. I hope it doesn't happen while I'm videotaping this today. But can you imagine somebody being there, knowing that can happen? No different from the lost man who knows the world's going to end somehow, some way, in some fashion, and won't do anything about it. He's more than stupid. They may get away from the crocodile. They won't get away from God. So we read here in Revelation, and it starts in chapter 6, that the bowl judgment, the vile judgments will start. The four seals, that's the seal judgments, four horsemen of the apocalypse, you've heard all your life, have you not? And this is them being turned loose, and we'll start here. This will go this week and probably next week and some more. We've been studying, those of us who study this kind of thing, and all your prophecy scholars now are very excited. Please understand, we do not know the day or the hour this will take place. But you don't have to be the smartest Indian in the tribe when you put your ear to the ground and hear a thundering noise over the hill that the buffalo are probably in the area. And we have been given so many warning signs, and we'll attempt to give you a few of them. Maybe you read the Left Behind series with Tim LaHaye and Brother Jenkins. Wonderful series. That's a novel, but it's based on scriptural fact. And even in all of those volumes, they couldn't cover what we're trying to cover in a few sermons. So just please understand the seriousness of the matter. And if you're one of those who say, well, I've heard this all my life and things haven't changed much, is that right? Your granddaddy had air conditioning, didn't it? Your grandmother cooked on a microwave oven, did she? The only cell phones they had a few years ago were in jail. Things have changed considerably. Me and several other in here who will go unnamed have gained weight. Things have changed, of course. Things are changing so rapidly in the scientific community. More books come out in 6 months now than you could possibly catch up to and read in a lifetime. It used to be that all knowledge was pretty well known in the world. Knowledge would double every, 100 years or so. Now it doubles like every 6 months. You can't even keep up with it. They just built a computer and announced IBM was going to build one that did 50 trillion calculations a second. Last month they announced that they had made a mistake. They were better than they thought, and it's going to be 100. It's rapidly coming to a close. Rapidly. So we read the book of Revelation that John was given by the inspiration of the Lord Jesus. And he says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, please understand, John had been banished to the Isle of Patmos. He was approximately 80 years old. He's on that island. He's still trying to serve God. The Romans had put him there. It wasn't a cave where they put him. There were houses, and it was a prison colony. And he was there still trying to serve the Lord. The Romans had tried to French fry him twice and boil him in oil. He wouldn't cook. So they banished him to the Isle of Patmos, and there an angel came to him and talked to him and gave him this book. The other scriptures that we read are inspired by the Lord Jesus. The 2 Timothy 3:16 will read, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And when you understand what that means in the Greek, it's pas graphe theonostos, and it means is God breathed. And you'll find local idiots who will say, well, didn't men write the Bible? Oh, gee, thanks for straightening me out. I thought some monkeys did it. Of course, men wrote the Bible. If you want to get technical, fountain pens wrote the Bible. The inspiration of what to write came from the Holy Spirit of God. He wrote this, and understanding, he first says, not you won't find it in the other scriptures, They'll say, I was told to say, or thus spaketh the Lord, or the Lord said unto the Lord. Look what John said. I saw with my eyes. I saw when the Lord opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, a noise of thunder. This isn't somebody just writing something down. He was transported in the spirit from earth to heaven. God said, come up hither. That'll be the call of the rapture of the church too, when he calls Christians and says, come up hither with the shout and the trumpet, and they'll come up. So this is eyewitness account. Got my lawyer friend sitting over here to my left, and he'll tell you that an eyewitness account of a murder or a theft or whatever is the best account you can have. I mean, you're in big trouble when 10 people say, I was there, I can prove I was there, I saw it, and it was him. You're in big trouble. Okay. So this is what John did. He didn't say, it has been rumored that this happened or was going to happen. He was shown it. I saw and I heard. And you say, wait a minute. It hadn't even happened yet, and he saw it. That's right. The battle hadn't taken place yet, and he heard. Yes, that's right. Well, that's kind of far-fetched. Let me make it easier for you. Try to make a frog. That's not too easy either, let alone the mighty things of God. The problem with theology in the world today is they speak of God and have no idea of his power. Most people have a midget God, no offense to midgets. Their God is somebody who's a great magician, or at least a little bit above what they can do. He stands a little bit more powerful than the most powerful man you know, but don't get in with all this. He's going to reveal the future before it happens. Apparently you didn't read the book of Daniel. The prophets wrote thousands of years ago. Daniel outlined what history would be to come. He's writing a couple, 3,000 years back. History has proven itself out to be accurate to everything he said, to the point that historians and liberal preachers said, well, this has to be written later on. Nobody could know this future had they not heard it rumored to them and somehow found out about it. Nobody could tell all this was going to happen before it happened. Of course they couldn't. That's why we know this book is supernatural. We have the only religious book, so-called, in the world of any so-called religion that has proof, undeniable proof, that we have a supernatural God who performed supernatural acts and wrote a supernatural book so we could become supernatural people. That's the God we preach. That's the God we believe. If you believe in any other God, I got bad news for you. Listen close. You're going to hell. I don't believe in hell. You'll believe in it when you get there. For all you atheists, listen. If you're not going to convert, please do all your atheistic stuff now. Get it done. Because there are no atheists in hell. 10 seconds after they're there, they understand, I was wrong. God help me. But it's too late. It's over. I bury people more so now than years back. I'm called to hold services for people I know the Savior. Those are pleasant. Even God's happy when a Christian dies. The Bible says it makes him smile, but he rejoices at the death of his saints. I said, that's a little unusual, isn't it? We cry and moan and do all that when somebody dies. His eternal purpose was to have fellowship with you. When you accept him as Savior and become a member of his family, he, like you, if you're a grandmother or grandfather, and we've got a couple who reported this week, I got a new grandbaby and I can't wait to see him. We're going up there, we're going down there, we're going over there in 2 weeks, and I'll miss church, but boy, I got to see my new grandbaby. I understand that anticipation and that excitement. God said, I can't wait to see my children. It's why I made them. I want them with me. I want to bless them forever. I'm going to let you in on a secret. I'm not going to tell you what's there, but listen real careful. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard the wonderful things that God has for those who love him. Surprise party. I can hardly wait. Why do you stay here? To aggravate the lost. Okay. All right. Said, I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. And I'm saying, it's happening now, only to realize that 15 Harleys had come down my street. And one of the four beasts, which should be rendered angels, says, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now what this is talking about, he has seen into the future of what's going to happen. The person riding the white horse was always the symbol of a conquering hero. When Rome conquered a country and they brought them back in slavery and their goods and their animals and everything, at the head of that line would be the general who had done that on a white horse. It was a picture of authority and a picture of conquering. And this is the conquering hero coming. And people mistakenly think, well, that must be Jesus. No, it's the Antichrist in this instance. Please understand, the Antichrist, anti to us means against, doesn't it? I mean, it's so in our vocabulary when we say I'm anti whatever, anti this, we naturally just say I'm against that, see? The Antichrist also means instead of, in place of. The cartoonist would have you believe there's a war between God and Satan, and there is. But Satan is so stupid that he's going to jump a red suit and bring a pitchfork and say, everybody wants to follow me, get on board. He's not an idiot. He's the wisest creature that was ever created. He's smarter than that. He's going to make you and billions of people think that he's God. And finally going to claim to be. And he is going to perform miracles that if you didn't know better, you'd go right along with it. And it says he will come on a white horse. He'll be a man of position. He will be, obviously, the one world government leader. And he who sat on him had a bow. A bow is an instrument of war. You know what a bow is when you shoot an arrow in war. And that's how they fought then, and that's how they could relate to this. It wouldn't do John any good to give the Hebrews and the new Gentiles a book that said they'll all have AK-47s. That would be stupid. He just gives a symbol of warfare, and that's a bow. And a crown was given him. This guy didn't come in on a white horse and start a war and take over. The crown of authority, the symbol of the white horse, the power of the one world government that's been planned for ages and is now coming together, was given to him. They simply handed it over to him. He said, they wouldn't do that. I beg your pardon. The country's left and right signing over their sovereignty to the United Nations and the European Common Market. Ours is one of them who has done that to our shame and disgrace and ultimate destruction. They have no idea what they're doing. No idea what they're doing. Handed over to him. Made the king. Made the president. Made the director of the one world government. You see, now everything is in place to have that government. Now everybody's saying, well, we can't have wars. Everybody has nuclear weapons. If we have a war, it's going to be hell on earth. It's going to be the Third World War. It can possibly wipe out everybody on earth. We cannot afford any more big wars. We just can't do it. We have to start talking. We have to start negotiating. We have to come together, and that's what you hear. Let us all come together. Everybody, you know. And if you're against doing that, then you're against peace, aren't you, as they see it? Understand clearly, there will be no peace on earth until the Prince of Peace arrives and sets up his kingdom and takes his seat on the throne of David in Israel. There'll be no peace. There has been no peace. There's been about 20 to 25 years in the history of man when there was total peace on the earth. Right now, there are 43 wars going on. You just hear of the ones they select to let you hear about. 43 is the average number of wars going on. Nobody's happy with the other group. Everybody wants to wipe everybody out. And these so-called religions that are coming together under the ecumenical movement want to form a one world church. When they formed that one world church, which it started years ago, they've been working on it. I'm ashamed to say some of the great evangelical leaders of this country have been duped into signing up with the movement. The first thing they will get rid of is the lordship and deity of Jesus Christ. Second thing they'll get rid of is his Bible. Today in our country, the Gideons are at work. God bless every effort they do, putting millions of Bibles out, not only here, but around the world. When I was a kid, they'd come by our grade school and give everybody a little New Testament. You probably got one. Or they'd come and give you the Gospel of John. Come out. They didn't preach anything. Just want everybody to have it, read for yourself, and decide for yourself. That's what the other side doesn't want, because if you begin to read this book and understand it, you'll decide, all right. You'll decide you've been a fool up to this time and better get things right. Today, the Gideons cannot go to schools in our area or anywhere in America and hand out New Testaments anymore. You can go in Russia and give them out. Friend of mine, Paul Embler, good godly man up in Lenore, head of the Gideons in that area, was telling me about him, and he said we went to the Ukraine and the word got out that we were giving out Bibles. The next morning we saw something in the distance coming our way. We didn't know what it was. Then we looked and it was a mass of people. And they got closer and kicking up some dust, and here they come, and they were in line marching. It wasn't soldiers. It was hundreds of school children who had heard they were giving away Bibles, and they had walked 5 miles so they could have a Bible. And we can't give them out in the public schools of America anymore. Something is bad wrong. So we find this is coming. This guy said the crown was given to him and he went forth conquering. He went forth to what? Take over the world. One world government. going to take over the world. And it says it's going to keep doing it. And to conquer. Keep on doing it. Take over the world. One world government. Doesn't that sound nice? Let's all have the same rules. And let's all act right. And we'll love one another. And there'll be no more war. May I remind you of the oil for food scandal? Billions of dollars we put into this thing to help people who couldn't eat, eat. And we find greedy, lost, hell-bound jerks using that money for themselves. Well, we know who did it. Well, let's don't do anything about it. It will upset somebody. Well, we certainly don't want to upset somebody. America was just taken off the council for the peace things in the UN. And now the guy who heads it up is from Iraq. I mean, what kind of idiot puts the fox in the hen house? What kind of foolishness is it when you take a bank robber and make him president of your bank? What kind of fool puts a man in charge of peace, safety, and security who belongs to a group that announced they want to kill us and are set out to do it, are burning our flags, killing our preachers, burning our churches, and claiming how peaceful they are? And you fool enough to listen to that? I don't think you are. It's time for the Christians to stand up and say, shut up. We want our country back. We want America as we knew it. We don't need anybody from England or Europe telling us what to do. That's why we left there. We don't need you coming in here trying to bring a bunch of new religions, although we let you do whatever it is, as foolish as it may be. Now they're having trouble in Miami because a bunch from Haiti come up there with the voodoo and they kill chickens, cats, and dogs during their services. And it's a big concern with the Humane Society because we're very humane, and that comes from Scripture, by the way. And they have a right to free religion, so they have a right to kill the chickens. And the Humane Society says, no, you can't just get dogs and cats and rabbits and chickens and kill them in our country for no reason. It's a big turmoil. Hold on, more's coming. I mean, it's upside down. It's turned around, isn't it? And this guy is going to go forward to conquer, and he will lead the world. The world has already been divided up into 10 areas. Not countries. Various countries are in different 10 of the 10 areas. It's already been done. They'll have a president of that area who reports to this man. Total control. You see, I've heard this preached all my life. My daddy preached it and introduced the premillennial return of Christ to the South, by the way. We didn't understand where a man would get enough power to take over the world because we loved our Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and Air Force, and we could whip anybody, and we still can. If our idiots don't banish us from protecting ourselves. Unfortunately, they are going to do exactly that. The second seal was opened, and we said, how in the world can these things be? How can one man run things, and how can these things happen? How do you keep track of it all? Because all we had was ballpoint pens and number two Yellow Eagle pencils. How do you keep track of something that large? We didn't have any computers. Nobody knew of anything like that. The computer that sits in Brussels right now has enough power to have 15 computer pages of information on every man, woman, and child on earth. Well, how are they going to know who I am? You've already got a social security number. This man's got a little mark he's going to put on you. He'll know who you are. Well, I'll hide. Went to see Fred Jones, friends in Raleigh today. He's not here. Friday night, slept over and had a word with him. He's got two little dogs that are just precious little dogs. And they're his buddies. And they jumped up on me, and I loved them. And, you know, I was just glad to see them and all. And I was talking a little bit to Fred about this. I said, it's very simple now. They're making them in Palm Beach, Florida, by the way, West Palm. To put something in a man's hand or forehead, and just like you scan a credit card now, you just do it with your hand. Very simple. The technology is there. I said, Fred, they already have this. They'll work it down to micro size, where it'll just be a dot. That'll be a very simple process to do. He said, you're not telling me anything, son. Feel that dog's ear. Felt the dog's ear. I said, what's that? He got a little bump in there. He said, that's an insert we had put in him. And if he gets lost, they can run a little thing over his ear. They'll know his name, my address, my phone number, any special medicines he needs, any diseases he has, and how to get him safely home. On a dog? Do you know how long it's going to be when they start doing that to babies when they're born? They already had a case of it. One hospital wanted to start doing it already. Oh, it's an easy sell. Well, I won't go to that. You wouldn't go to that because you know the ramifications. The people who are lost, undone, don't know the Bible, they don't know what's coming. It's a heck of a deal for an idiot. Hey, guess what? We'll never have a lost child again. Nobody will wander off from an Alzheimer's center. We'll know right where they are. They can do that with the SRS. What is it now you have where they know where you are on your car? Don't you have some of you have them on your new automobiles? You push the button. They come to you wherever you are in the world. They'll come to you. Saw the Golf Channel the other day. They got a little gizmo you buy now when you play golf. And you want to know how far the ball is to the pin, like you're going to hit it there. And you mash it, stand at the ball. It goes to a satellite, it goes to the pin, and it tells you exactly how far that is. Then it'll recommend a safer area to hit in. I mean, it's like having the owner of the golf course who's a professional and knows it like the back of his hand standing with you. And you're on a golf course somewhere. And they know. What a sale. What a sale. No more lost children. Can't be. No more kidnappings. Can't be. We'll do away with the cash. We won't need that. You know, your credit card today, yeah, you'll have one in your finger. Boop. You don't hold up a man and steal his finger. If he has no money, there's no need to hold him up. What's the use to go out to 7-Eleven, 3 in the morning, and hold the man up if there's no money there? What you going to do, take a hot dog? You see what it does? I've been there. Oh, they said, by the way, if you work at a 7-Eleven or one of those places, God bless you. You got to do whatever you can to make a living. That's the fifth most dangerous job in America now. 3 in the morning, nobody's there. You know, the police can't be in front of your place all the time. And it's walk in, hold up, take the money. I did it. I was in between jobs. Went to work up at Little River up near Farrell's house. Yeah? Father Farrell. And I'm back there mopping the floor about 2:30 in the morning. And I'm not too pleased anyway. And I'm trying to mop the floor, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm glad I did that postgraduate work, because I'll really get this floor clean. Thoughts like that occur to you in that situation. Here comes a dude in. He looked to be 55, 60 years old. I said, be right with you, sir. He's standing at the counter, and I go up. I said, can I help you? He said, well, I need some money. And I said, you really think I'm here at 3 o'clock in the morning? Because I don't. He said, no. I mean, I need some money. I said, I just told you I need some money. How can I help you? He said, I've got a gun. I said, you do? He said, yeah. I said, well, you don't need a gun. This ain't my money. You can take it and the cash register. Okay. Bother me any. Help yourself. Get a couple of hot dogs on the way out. I knew if he ate them hot dogs, we'd catch him before he got off the property. Boom. So he's looking at me, and I said, is this a hold up? And he said, yeah. I said, you're doing it wrong. You go have a hold up. You don't just walk up here. You come in and announce, this is a hold up. How am I going to know what to do? And he's looking at me like, And I gave him the money, and there's one you pull out that sets off the alarm. I didn't want to pull it out because I didn't know if it's silent or, going to encourage this idiot to shoot me. So I left it, and he sees it and said, no, that one too. So I said, okay. And I didn't hear anything, gave it to him. He getting ready to go. I said, can I talk to you a minute, buddy? He said, what? I said, can I have a word with you before you go? He's looking like, I don't know what to do. Just tell me what to do next. I said, that money you just got, you're welcome to. You got less than $100. It may last you the morning. I doubt it. And you're going to have to do this again. And again, and again, until one day they catch you. Then they're going to give you 7 years, read the sign, no probation, hard labor, and you look to be about my age. You don't need that. What you need to do is remember what your grandmother taught you when she took you to church as a little boy. When she prayed with you by your bed. She was right. You don't need money. You need to get saved. Get the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And he'll see to it that you don't have to do this anymore. He'll take care of you. He looked at me, backing out the door, and said, you talk too much. No, I talked just enough. He understood. So we had a secret code they call the security service. You're supposed to say a secret word. So they call. It's 10 minutes later after I've set the alarm down. All right, having a problem up there? Yes, I am. You know the secret word? Yeah, the secret word is peaches. And I'm not saying this in front of the burglar, he's been gone 20 minutes. Well, do you want us to send the police out? I said, no, don't even bother. This is the last place he wants to be. He just held me up. Did you think he's going to sit around and have coffee with me now? He's gone. Where were you when the alarm went off? So here come the cats and jammer kids, the police. They're running around, and two of them get in an argument about who's the most dedicated to their job. And being one that doesn't tend my business well. I said, neither one of you know much about what you're doing. He went that way. He's not in here. So they went stopping people. It's a dude on a bicycle. He made a clean getaway. And they said, well, do you want us to come back tonight and circle around? I said, no, don't bother. I'll handle it. Don't bother. So the lady on the phone, he says, well, you sound mighty calm to have just been held up. I said, of course I'm calm. This is a live call. Why wouldn't I be calm? He didn't shoot me. He left with somebody else's money. It didn't cost me a dime. He's gone. I'm in no danger. Why don't you all come out? We'll have coffee and donuts. Gee, my ninny. Scare you to death, would it not? This is what we're coming to. We're already there. Second seal, and the angel said, come and see again. There went out another horse that was red. That's the color of blood. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. This isn't a local skirmish, is it? And that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And we wonder what that meant. In those days, the guy with the biggest sword could cause the most damage, obviously. They didn't know about things that we have today. We were concerned when the Second World War came. The Germans got upset because we had invented what they call blockbusters. Boy, it was a big old bomb, and you could drop them, and finally they got them, dropped them on some of my people in England, and they would just blow up the whole block. I mean, it was something, but oh, they got it now. And then one day we invented a mushroom cloud. And they said, boy, this has got to be the top of the line. Then they came with a neutron bomb. A neutron bomb is set off by an atomic bomb. They have bombs that they can bomb a city with that will kill all protein, all living things, and won't damage 1 billion. Pretty big sword, isn't it? And you try to wonder what kind of sword this guy will have. It was announced a week or two ago. Our country is the greatest country and the most powerful country on earth. There's no doubt about that. You fight our war power in a full-fledged war, you'll lose in quite a hurry. And we're very proud of our nuclear arsenal, of those things we know and those things we don't know. But in one swoop move, they've found out now that a low-level atomic bomb set off 200 miles up over this country can fry every computer board in the country. No water, no food, no banking, no manufacturing, no defense, no airplanes, no buses, no cars, no communication, no TV, nothing. It's all gone. And with one, bam, we're back in the 1800s. That's pretty scary. Not to me. I'm going to be gone. When Russia decided to fall apart, they had 30,000 nuclear weapons pointed at targets in the world, most of which were us. 10,000 nuclear scientists from Russia dispersed around the world to work for the highest bidder. With them, they carried 100 nuclear suitcase bombs that'll fit in that briefcase over there, any one of which will take the lives of 100,000 people. And nobody knows where they are. We bring Putin over here. Entertain him at your White House. Feed him with your tax dollars. Treat him like a king who is friendly and wants to do business with us. He isn't home a week when he announces he's already signed a treaty with the Arabs. And if they come down on Israel, which they'll do according to this book, they'll back them 100%. Well, he looked so nice. Yeah, I know. He acted so friendly. Yes, I know. Well, why wouldn't you trust him? Because before he became the head of Russia, he was the head of the KGB of Russia, who aren't going to try to kill us, destroy us. They've been trying to do it for years. Big trouble. This goes on, and we'll pick it up next week, getting short on time. Well, preacher, how do I get out of this? Very simply, let me read what's going to happen. Brother Paul in 1 Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, dead, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which remain are alive unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then encourages us, wherefore comfort one another with these words. He's saying you're not going to have to go through that stuff you're going to have to read when we get to Revelation if you're in Jesus. This is not scary to me. I'm not going to be here. I hope it's not scary to you. If you know the Lord Jesus, rest in peace. You won't be here. That is going to happen in our generation or lifetime, I don't know. I do know by the color of the hair I see in this congregation, it's getting late for you either way. You better make a decision. For if he comes and leaves you behind, that's it. If you die without him, same result. That's it. The thing to do is get your ticket to ride before the bus gets here. If you haven't done that today, why don't you do that as we pray, as we sing? We don't have people come to the front just where you are. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need forgiveness. I understand it was you who died on Calvary's cross for me, that your blood covered my sins, that you were buried, that you arose the third day, and you indeed are coming back for your own and then to set up your kingdom, and I want to be part of that. And by faith, I don't understand it all. By faith, I accept you as my Savior today. You pray that prayer. You take a step toward him. He'll run an eternity toward you. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you today and open your word and read the words of life. Let people know that history has already been written in advance. All they have to do is read it and understand it. That's why you sent preachers who study it and do understand it. That's why your Spirit reveals unto us through your word the truth of the matter and gives us the privilege to announce it to those who haven't heard. If there be one among us today here or on the radio audience or on the web, and they're lost and undone and don't have a Savior, and they see the world's going crazy and they don't know what to do and they don't have any answers, may they know we do have an answer, and His name is Jesus. And they need to repent of their sins and accept You as Savior. Be with them, Lord. And may they do it today. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for His sake, amen.